And then I said, I think I just sat on a candle.
Was your ass burning?
No, not my. Never mind.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Episode number 94 of Contested Layups. Thank you again for joining us. Who we got here tonight?
John.
Gar.
It's Raul.
Silence.
Eddie's here. Eddie's
complete,
also here.
Complete silence. Eddie, a.k.a. The Riddler, a.k.a. Tom Riddle, a.k.a. Johnson & Johnson. Let's go. Remember, you can find us on iTunes, Google Play, Instagram, and Facebook.
Wait, what nickname did I just give you?
I don't know.
Black Sherlock.
Black Sherlock.
Black Sherlock. Good.
We're still on YouTube. Yep.
It's all right. It's postseason Raul.
It's after the season, Raul.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's okay now. Now that his
don't care about anything.
now that he doesn't care, you'll have time to actually update it. Hopefully,
yeah, maybe.
Okay, the NBA playoffs are upon us still. Without the Oklahoma City Thunder, they got eliminated. If you didn't know, and that's Raul breathing. The Western Conference, we did not preview last week on our last episode, so we're going to talk about the West here first, even though tonight there was a game between the Raptors and the Sixers. We will get that. We will get down to that eventually. Probably in about...
In a bit.
About the 20-minute mark, we'll say.
What? No. Like 10.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll
just,
see.
Just tell them 5.
All right, 5 minutes. Tell them 5. 5 minutes. Just lie to them.
Yeah.
So the NBA, as always, is full of drama. The Golden State Warriors and the Houston Rockets are in a best-of-seven series. Golden State is currently up 2-0 in that series. The next game is on Saturday. I think it's Saturday night. But in Game 1, the dominant storyline was the officiating, or the lack of officiating, where there were several calls that were not called. And Houston claimed that they would have won the game if those calls were made. And then there was a report that was leaked that Houston made a memo documenting that there were like 80-something missed calls in their 7-game series with Golden State last year, and Houston would have won that series had those calls been made. There was a memo
that
they were going to send to the NBA, but they wound up not sending it. I'm not sure how this story got out. I think it's awesome that Houston...
They were going
to
send it, but then they wound up...
They wound up not sending it. They got scared.
Man, should I send?
Sitting there,
no, I'm about to send this.
Just
right
like
to it.
Hovering over the mouse. Yeah.
So
no, not this time.
But Houston,
like missed the button.
Garnick made a good comment about pre-show that the complaining about the referees got its job done in Game 2. There was no issue over the referees. It was a pretty fairly played game for the most part. Golden State wound up winning, but there was outside of James Harden getting raked over the face and no call with Draymond Green's face or hand, like James Harden got poked in the eyes. Outside of that, there was nothing substantial.
Yeah, you know, despite the fact that Houston lost that game, I think they made it a point to make sure that officiating wasn't going to be an issue going forward in this series.
Yep.
Then if you recall, they also put the spotlight on the official for that specific game. I forgot
Scott Foster's his name. Yeah.
He's on the tip of my tongue. And by doing that, they made it even more of a mood point, you know, officiating. Which went very smoothly outside of those two technicals, the double technicals on Draymond and Nene.
Right.
That was unnecessary, and the league even went as far as to acknowledge it basically immediately by taking them back.
We're sending. Gotcha.
Rescinding. That's the word I was
looking
for.
Got you, man. I got him all night.
Oh, thanks, Ed. Wow.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
No problem.
Somebody's been watching playoff basketball.
A little bit.
You get it.
A little bit. Go ahead. Continue, Gary.
Well, long and short of it, this is the marquee series of the playoffs to date, in my opinion. I think most of us agree that the winner of the ship this year is going to come out of this series. And I think most of us would probably argue that it's going to be Golden State. And probably would have argued that points still 2 days ago or 4 days ago or whenever the hell this series got started.
Yeah.
At this point, it's unfortunate that we're getting to this so late on, but the series is somewhat decided. And the fact that James Harden couldn't see in game two, it's a shame to me.
Well, he still actually shot the ball decent.
He made some pretty goofy moves, and
I think a lot of his passes were just like, whoa, like, yeah. Dang, you can't see, guy.
And he couldn't even focus on, like, the free throw line. You can see him, like, trying to focus, visibly, like, unable to focus.
Yeah.
So, I think if that is an issue going forward, the series is done. I think if we had this conversation 5 days ago, I would have picked Houston, but now I can't.
Wow. Well, be gracious that you didn't.
No.
Why not? Because you would have been wrong.
It would have been genuine, and being wrong due to injury isn't being wrong. You know?
Fair enough. Well, what do you think about the series and how it's gone this far?
It's pretty much going how I thought it would be going. I really thought that Golden State was gonna just come out and take charge of this series like right away. They kind of wanted to nip anything in the butt that, like, oh, Houston, you know, this was the big storyline carrying on from last year. Oh, Houston could have won last year if they had this, if this would have happened, or yeah, whatever.
If
you know,
yep.
And especially after the Warriors losing two games to the Clippers, I think everybody was ready to see Houston come out swinging and maybe steal the first game or whatever. But Golden State did a really good job of just not allowing that to happen at all. I also think that Kevin Durant is, man, I've been thinking he's the best. But I think
that's right, baby.
I think he's proving it right. You better put that shirt away. How right, dare baby. You? That's
John, right, has a, John has a Kevin Durant Golden State Warriors
Let's
shirt.
Let's go. We are locked in. Let's go.
I think Kevin Durant's the best player in the NBA all around by far, I think.
You know, I just realized that as soon as you started talking about Durant, you just got this big smile on your face.
Yep.
And I just realized that that's always been the case.
Yep.
Pretty much, yeah.
Whenever I talk about OKC, unless it's in the playoffs, or when I talk about KD, can't help but smile.
that's your okay. guy, though, man. Yeah, that's
how I felt about LeBron when he first left Cleveland and he went to Miami. Shut up. Shut the hell up. Like, I didn't like the fact that he went to Miami, but, you know, you enjoy him as a player, regardless of what team he is.
KD is the best. KD is by far the best. And it's like, yeah, James Harden is really good, but I just never seen anybody score like how Kevin Durant does. And the way that he does it is just so easy. He's getting, like, you can't even say that he's getting to his spots because every part on the court is his spot. So it's just like, it's so easy for him. And especially with Curry being in foul trouble, Klay Thompson's been okay. But for the most part, you're just having Draymond Green run the offense and then Kevin Durant just dominating. But as far as the fouls go in game one, it is what it is. I think James Harden, you know, if you're going to complain about calls that are being missed for the Rockets, there's definitely Golden State fans or even neutral fans that are complaining about, well, James Harden's initiating the contact or he's flopping or whatever.
Doing the chicken
wing. Yeah, you know, like, so it's, I don't know. It's whatever.
There are plenty of situations in that game, too, where Golden State got fouled in a similar fashion and nothing was called.
Yeah.
It was, Jeff Van Gundy said it, where it was consistent both ways. Where they weren't calling the landing calls, or, you know, they just weren't calling it.
That's fine, but it really just got bad towards the last minute or two of the game where you have an ejection and you have Harden missing a crucial shot where it was slightly more borderline than the prior ones.
Right.
You know, that's why it was really magnified.
Good, Jen.
Game one.
This whole series. Hold on. Let me get the this already.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. Durant on the block now. Yeah. Do it.
John is ISO. Setting up. Yeah. He's, like, getting comfortable.
Durant's John's favorite player now.
Let your hair down, John.
That's right, baby. Locked in.
Let it be known, John has never had a LeBron anything. Not a LeBron shirt, not a LeBron jersey.
I had two LeBron shoes. I had a LeBron. Well, no. I bought a LeBron jersey
now,
for my cousin.
Now he has a Durant shirt. But don't worry about it.
I got a Durant shirt on sale. I think it was like
Facebook profile pictures,
bucks.
Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
$25. What a steal.
Go ahead, John.
Reminds me of a situation in boxing where if you fought once and it was close and then you rematch again, well, then you're
probably not going to be close.
Yeah, exactly, because you're the person that lost might have known more about you, but so did the winner. So it's not like
kind of like Canelo and Golovkin.
Yes. You're so smart, you boxing Schwab.
Hey, that's what's up.
But yeah, I think that's the case where Golden State learned and adjusted to what happened last year, and it's working. Plus, you have Iguodala.
Yep.
And when your game is based on trying to lobby for calls like Harden does, I can't say you're going to win any series, to be honest.
Yeah, so. I need to see a lot more out of Chris Paul in this series. Yeah. He's been kind of pedestrian. Not really, but
17 points a game, 17.5, 5 rebounds, 5 assists for Paul.
Yeah, he needs to step his game up. This is a very important series for him personally, legacy-wise, because he's done after this, if that's what he's going to put up in the playoffs, in the most important round of playoffs in your life so far.
Yep.
I mean, he's not young. He's no spring chicken.
It's simple.
But.
And I think he just needs to stop yelling at the refs and start playing D and then complain in between timeouts. Man, you're really costing your team those points. Those are cheap, easy points.
I mean, I definitely agree that Chris Paul needs to step it up. Like, he's definitely not looking like even Chris Paul of last year. He's definitely not even looking like that. But I just think Houston doesn't have enough weapons anymore. Their team last year was considerably better. They lost a bunch of shooting. They had better shooters last year. They had better defenders.
Yep.
I think they were more athletic in general last year too. And now, yeah, James Harden is a beast. But if you don't even have Chris Paul going and then Capella's not really doing that much, like, I don't know, man. It's the matchup wasn't as appealing to me before this series started as it was last year.
I have been saying this entire year. The loss of Ariza has been huge. I've been saying that playing Gerald Green a lot of minutes, not necessarily, but just, I don't know, playing Daniel House in that first game, like sticking him under Durant, I thought it was a terrible decision by D'Antoni. PJ Tucker is doing his best.
Yeah, he
but
you need that extra guy.
But PJ Tucker was in foul trouble.
Yeah.
Exactly, and that was the key. They never replaced Ariza. They thought they could with Carmelo, and they never did. Austin Rivers is okay, but he's not even close to the defender that Ariza is.
He's an asset on this team, though.
He can score a little bit.
And I gotta say, back when you had a choice between Melo and Ariza, I don't see anything wrong with choosing Melo in that situation. You know, it was a bet that backfired. But, you know, this is D'Antoni we're talking about. He obviously had some issues with Melo in the past, but he was able to overcome that. Chris Paul promised to have Melo in line, and he signed off on that and didn't pay $15 million to Ariza. It is what it is. It backfired. They had to make lemonade, and so far it hasn't worked. This series isn't done yet.
No, it's not.
Let's not just zoom past it, because this is a very impressive Houston team. I mean, considering where they started this year, they still ended up having home court in the first round. That's pretty impressive in this iteration of the Western Conference.
Right.
They still have an ace up their sleeve.
I will agree with you. I do think Houston wins game 3, but something I wanted to touch on, and John kind of alluded to it, Andre Iguodala, though. it goes forgotten that Andre Iguodala last year in that series got hurt.
Yeah.
In game three. I mentioned this to you guys in the pre-show. Mm-hmm. Andre Iguodala gets hurt in game three. Chris Paul goes off in game four and five because Iguodala is not guarding him. Iguodala is healthy right now. If Andre Iguodala stays healthy for this series, I think Golden State wins. I think it's because Houston's offense is so predicated on one-on-one, you know, isolation ball at the top of the key, and Andre Iguodala is switching on to everybody and is making it hard for Harden and Paul to score because he's a fantastic defender still in his 15th year in the league. And if he gets hurt, Houston's got a chance. So, but go ahead, John.
And just last thought, credit to Steph Curry for playing D on Harden with five fouls. I thought that was clutch. And they try to bully him and try to put him into those mismatches, but Curry's holding his own, and that's a really another important thing too.
All right. Yep. Five fouls in each game, but go ahead, Gunner.
Well, it's funny, in the first game you could have made a point that he should have fouled out with like a minute to go, and then he ends up hitting that clutch shot at the end. So that's another reason why officiating was magnified after the first game.
Okay.
I agree. Man, I think after this season they got to start talking about rule changes or something, because it's been too long of players and fans and media even criticizing the referees and their calls. So I think, man, they should go, I don't know, they should change something so that it's not, I don't know, the players are taking advantage of the rules, they're missing a bunch of calls. It's looking bad on the referees, and it's looking bad on the league. So, I don't know. Maybe if they should go away from, I don't know, all the softness of it all, I guess, and making it easier for people to score, and so that they're not as bothered. People just want to see, like, good basketball being played nowadays.
Right, and that game one was not good basketball. Game two was much better, though. Yeah. So to be fair, we'll just see how the rest of the series goes. Hopefully the refs aren't an issue. All right, let's get picks for the rest. Oh, you got one, Garner? Good.
Yeah, I mean, the ref situation is really getting out of hand. But depending on your perspective, I can argue both sides of it. I think on one hand, you have way too much complaining from the players.
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely way too much. I mean, this is as worse as it's been in the 20 years I've paid attention to basketball.
Yeah.
You know, it's as bad as it's ever been. On the other hand, this is... So many rules are open to interpretation in basketball specifically as compared to other sports. And, you know, the ref has too much power in the NBA. And, I mean, I hate to bring this up, but Donaghy happened this decade. Was it last decade? Within the last...
20 years.
12 years.
2002.
2002 for I'm old. Feels like only 12 years ago. But regardless, it did happen, and it got swept under the rug. Good for the NBA. They were able to really do damage control there.
Yep.
But nonetheless, it should speak volumes to you. And the fact of the matter is, statistically speaking, there are some very large discrepancies for some refs against specific teams.
John?
Matt, I totally forgot all my thoughts, but I think I'm going to agree with Garnick, though, first off, that the whole thing about calling out the refs was a good thing, because it put the refs under the microscope, and they really, I thought this was like the best ref game all season.
Game two?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. It was a pretty good game of basketball. I mean, it was smooth, and... And the adjustments were made by both teams too, though. Go ahead.
And then I think they just need to clarify like those specific rules, like those certain rules. Like what do you constitute a safe landing spot?
Yeah, but they have to like be like they have to decide like on what it is and make it very clear.
Yeah,
and not like nowadays, it's mostly a judgment call by the referee. It's not even so much like, this is the rule, that's how we're going to follow it. It's more of like, oh, well, here's what happened and this kind of thing.
It kind of has to be because every player has a different jumper. No one has the same kind of jumper.
Yeah, no one has the same landing spot.
Yep, and the shot that Harden took near the end of the game, he exacerbated his shooting motion where he kicks his legs forward. That's not a foul. Because he doesn't do that. I don't know about that one,
the specific shot I'm referring to. Because there were some other ones where, yeah, I agree with you 100%. He kicked his leg out. That's not a foul. But that specific one, the very last one, there was contact. For sure that was contact.
Is it the one initiated. That Draymond contested?
I thought that was KD, actually.
No, I don't remember. It was Green. But regardless.
It was Green.
I don't think that's a foul.
Going to your point, though, Raul, I think that that's kind of... There has to be a judgment because everyone's going to have different shooting motions.
Yeah, but it's... It's very inconsistent. It's mostly a judgment call most of the times. It's not like, oh, well, like this is like a special case. It's every time that you're just like, okay, well, that's supposed to be a foul. Oh, well, they didn't call it because of this. And then or you know, just whatever the case may be. Flagrant fouls are the most confusing thing to me because half the time I'm just like, is that a flagrant? And then they're just like, no, it wasn't a flagrant because of this. It's only a technical. Or it's a flagrant 2 because of this. Or it's when it's supposed to be a flagrant 1.
Right.
You know, like,
right.
It's like all that kind of stuff. And it's just like, man, like, you got to clean it up before you got to, you know, like, there's too much of everything. There's definitely too much complaining by players. But I think for the most part, if they did clean it up, I feel like players would just... adjust.
like get rid of some rules.
Yeah,
make it more much cleaner. Like no, not be so petty about which rules are enforced, which rules are which. Yeah, I agree with you there.
Yeah, I agree.
I think there's too many rules, and it not only gives them the refs power, but it gives but you overwhelm them with all these rules.
Yep.
Yeah,
and it just clutters the game, in my opinion.
Let's. Even though we told you we were going to talk about the Eastern Conference in minute 20, now it's minute 21. Let's go to the predictions for this series specifically. It is 2-0 Golden State as this recording. Garnick, who you got winning the series in what?
I got to go Golden State in 7. I think I'm pretty sure everyone wins. Every home game is going to be won by the home team.
You think?
I really do. I think Houston keeps it close. I think there's going to be a pretty close game 7, but not like an all-timer.
Yeah, okay.
And yeah, I got to go 7. I got to go Warriors, sadly.
Raul?
Golden State in 5. I think Houston's going to win this next game at home. But other than that, they haven't shown that they have any answer for Durant and Curry. And Thompson were almost non-factors. I mean, almost. But,
yeah,
so they have a lot on their hands, and Houston has a lot of adjusting to do. And, I just think Golden State has had their number.
John?
Yeah, I'm going to pick Golden State in 6. I think they do put up a fight. I think Houston's too good not to win at least 2 games in this series. But for all the things that we mentioned previously, they just simply don't have enough firepower.
All right. I got Golden State in 6 also. I do think Houston does do well here at home. I think they do win probably both of these games at home, make it a 2-2 series. Just the shooting will be better. P.J. Tucker will hit shots. Just being at home. That's how these role players are. It's always been the case.
Yeah.
But then I just think in game 6, Golden State smells blood, and they just go and get them. Just go crush them in game 6. Not crush them, but beat them by like 10.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it.
All right, so we all got Golden State. Let's go to the Denver Nuggets and Portland Trailblazers series.
Oh, baby.
The Nuggets winning game 7 against the Spurs.
Oh, they did?
Yeah,
oh,
they did.
Great.
Sorry, V, you lost your bet. But the story of this series actually has been the adjustments that Portland made in Game 2. The series right now, as of this recording, is 1-1, going to Portland for Game 3. Portland won Game 2, 97-90. Holding Denver to 90 points at home is pretty impressive. Denver really did not make a lot of shots. They shot like 20% from the field from three in game two. Nikola Jokic was limited. He was in foul trouble in game two. And that was the big thing, is that you didn't have a whole lot of scoring from Portland. Damian Lillard had 14 points. CJ McCollum had 20. And neither of them shot particularly well. Kanter had 15. But it was just balanced scoring. And defensively, they did play better defense in that game. I thought the Blazers did than in game one, where the Nuggets had 120 points. And it was a very different style of game from game one to two. Let's start with Raul here. Raul, what did you think from this game? Torrey Craig did get raked in the eye. He got punched in the nose. I had a bloody nose. I don't know if you saw that. And then he came back and hit a couple shots. It was kind of cool. But what do you think of this game, man?
I don't know. It's hard to call this series, because I don't know. You have Denver, who I personally don't really believe all that much in Denver right now. They're like a young team and they're inexperienced, but they beat the Spurs. And
it doesn't mean much.
I mean, yeah.
I'm sorry to be. It doesn't mean much.
I just haven't been that impressed. But, you know,
So you're Brad Pitt.
But, I think they have a lot more weapons than Portland. And I could definitely see Mike Malone using the size to his advantage. And I think Jokic needs to do a lot better job of playing with his fouls and trying not to get in foul trouble.
Yep.
Because they definitely need him to run the offense. Man, when this guy plays and he's, you know, not in foul trouble, this looks like he's just dancing around the court, like gliding around the court.
Yeah,
and somehow he just winds up underneath the basket just for a tip in. So that's going to be their bread and butter. But, yeah, I mean, credit to Kanter for stepping up. He's definitely showing that he could do a lot more than what we all thought he would.
Interesting that
both Kanter can play.
Interesting, yeah. And both your points were about the bigs right there.
Yeah.
I think that's really telling for the rest of this series as it goes down. Is can Jokic stay on the floor and stay out of foul trouble?
Yes.
If he can, I think Denver has a great chance to win. And then, but Kanter is also matching up with it. Well, I thought it was going to be... it's going to be easy. Jokic shot 7 of 17 last night. Kanter played defense on him.
Portland needs the bigs to step up. You know, just like how they did with, the squad in the first round. they need their bigs to step up in order to win any series, really.
Zach Collins had 10 points last night.
Yeah, exactly. So, it's definitely going to be on the bigs. You know that Lillard's going to come out there and he's gonna be a beast. Yeah, you know, McCollum is gonna do his thing too. But where they're gonna be able to win games and win series is gonna be because of their bigs. They're hardworking bigs, and we'll just see how this plays out. I honestly don't even know how it's gonna go, but I think the next game is gonna be very telling, and I think it's gonna be a huge game.
Okay, first of all, I don't think we have the right to talk about this series without talking about the Nuggets-Spurs Game 7 first. We just zoomed right past that.
We did.
What the hell happened with the Spurs in the last 30 seconds?
Yeah,
I can't get over that. Greg Popovich, that's the biggest blunder, coaching blunder, arguably.
Apparently he was yelling.
I'm sure he was, but that's something that your players should know. And yeah, as a coach, that's on you. To make sure they do. I know you have LaMarcus, and he's been around for a minute, to say the least. He should know better. But they had multiple players that didn't foul. Patty Mills didn't foul when he was like basically grinding on the guy. It just baffled me. Overall, the game was a little nerve-wracking at the end. I thought they should have had it in the bag.
What? You're all of a sudden a Nuggets fan, man?
A little bit, yeah, for sure. I bet money on them.
Yeah, right? That's what I'm laughing at.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I was cheering for them because of the money primarily, but nonetheless, I'm a fan of Mike Malone. I'm a fan of Jokic. They're probably like in my top five, but I'm not a diehard. I'm not a ride or die, but I like them.
You're not the Raul of the Nuggets.
I'm not the Raul of the Bucks either. But I thought that was a fairly entertaining game from a nerve-wracking standpoint, if that even makes sense.
It does a little bit.
There were like 15 points ahead for most of the game, then 10, then 5, then 2. And then it's like, are you trying to choke? Moving on to this series, I think it's safe to say that this whole round, you won't have a 5. Outside of possibly Warriors, and I'm only saying that because one of you said that it could be 5. So these adjustments, game to game. Portland did very good. Gotta give Terry Stotts some credit for sure. Mm-hmm. Something that I haven't said ever in my life.
I don't think
yeah, Terry Stotts is not someone you think of if you think like top 5 coaches or top 10 coaches.
He's good.
He's good. But I'm not saying he's not good.
Okay, continue.
Regardless. I mean, even if you look at the Boston series, I'm jumping ahead a little bit. There's some tinkering there, too.
Oh, of course, there has to be.
It's a chess match.
Bottom line is, this series is going to go down to the wire. And it's a pretty exciting series. I wish it was on a little earlier so I wouldn't fall asleep in the fourth quarter.
Okay.
That is all.
Go ahead, John. Do you have them?
Yeah, thanks for forgetting about me.
No, I didn't forget about you. I had a point, but I forgot about my point.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Go ahead, man.
Yeah. Anyways. I think the key to this is if Portland can get Jokic to be in foul trouble, they have a good chance. And who else is that? The guy?
Cantor?
Not Cantor. Leonard didn't play. Zach Collins.
Zach Collins. The best thing those guys have is 6 fouls.
Yeah.
Yep. Collins had 5. Collins used 5 of them.
Yeah.
I want you to hurt him.
No, not like that. Not like that. But you know they can play physical with Jokic, and you know I'm not sure. If Jokic responds well to the physicality of it, not to say that he's soft. I'm not saying that at all. But, you know, sometimes when you get physical with a guy, you kind of throw a tantrum.
What?
When you get physical with a guy.
John.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think Portland's best move here is to try to
get physical.
With
the guys.
Like, Jokic is still very young. Murray is still very young. Also, they have a young team. You know, like, you should try to get physical and try to, like, bother them and see if you could kind of throw them off their game. You already saw what happens when Jokic gets into foul trouble. You know, like, that doesn't bode well. If, you know, Denver's almost their whole offense is predicated on Jokic running it.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly.
No one's going to dispute that.
If this guy is sitting on the bench, then you're stuck in very unfamiliar territory. And you could try to use Plumlee and you could try to use Millsap, but they just don't do it the same way Jokic can.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
like, I just wanted to say, like, I think Jokic might lose his temper or something like that, and then that's another way. Just get under his skin, be an irritant, and try to throw him off his game.
It also helps that Rodney Hood showed up and had 15 points in game 2. I think Portland actually makes a change to their lineup. I think that Mo Harkless is hurt, and I think Hood starts next game.
I can see that.
I see him starting. Zach Collins comes off the bench for sure.
Zach Collins got to get
it. You know, with Jokic specifically, I was just thinking about it. Out of all the teams in the playoffs, there's probably only one or two that are more dependent on a single player than Denver is on Jokic. And the other two are the two MVP candidates. So that tells you something.
Yep. Jokic is definitely a first or second team All-NBA center this year. It's tough between Embiid and Jokic, I think.
I don't think it's that tough, man.
You think it'd be Jokic?
Yeah, I think
for what?
All-NBA first.
Dude was like 8th in assists this year.
That's crazy.
I think it's Embiid.
That's crazy.
You're partial, bud.
Let's go to picks for the rest of the series. Remember, it is 1-1. Game 3 is tomorrow or Saturday. I don't remember. But picks for the rest of the series. Start with John.
Man, that's hard.
I didn't forget about you.
That's hard. I wish you went to me last because I'm still undecided.
All right, I'll start then.
No, I'll just make it right now.
All right, good.
I'm going to say it's Portland.
And what?
I'm going to bring in 7. I'm gonna.
Ooh, Portland wins in Denver in seven.
Yeah, I'm.
My bold, Raul.
Bold prediction.
I got Portland in seven.
Dang, man. Everyone picking Portland to win in Denver.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. It's going to be a tough series, for sure. But, I don't know. It seems like it's... The storyline would just be there. You know, like, if Portland made it to the conference finals, it almost seems like it's meant to be. Like,
yeah.
Damian Lillard's first round was, like, ridiculous. And then if he carries Portland past the Nuggets also, then it's just going to be a great story. And I want to see Dame get his shine, because I always liked the kid.
All right, man. Yeah. Garnick, what do you got?
Well, my mind is telling me Portland. But my body. actually, I'm just going to go with Portland. I really do think that, as much as I like Denver and as much as I like Mike Malone and Jokic, their inexperience really showed in Game 7. And I think Portland is a very mature team at this point in their development. Mm-hmm. McCollum is ready. Dame's been ready. Cantor apparently showed up. Good for him. And Stotts is surprising the shit out of me. I got to go Portland in six. I don't think they can win a game seven away. I don't think they're capable of that, but I think they can hold serve and win all their home games. And right now, that's all it takes.
True. I think Jokic is too much. I think Denver wins. I think that game two was an aberration for Jokic. And I think he responds in game three. And you see more of the Jokic you saw in game one. I got Denver in six. I think Denver wins in Portland, actually.
Twice in Portland?
Twice in Portland. Yep.
Okay. That's cute.
Is it?
It's super cute. Totally cute.
All right. Before we move on, shout outs to TIFO Basketball, because they do know their stuff. They really do know their stuff. Just wanted to point out, there was this one play late in the fourth quarter where I don't know who put up the shot, but somebody, I think one of the small forwards, actually came from the corner to grab that rebound and reset it again.
Yep.
So TIFO Basketball highlighted that sort of tactic on their YouTube video. If you want to check it out, go ahead. Check out TIFO Basketball on YouTube.
But not before you check out Contested Layups episodes.
Of course.
Yes.
Of course.
Yes.
So you can cross-reference both.
Yeah, episodes, what, 38 through 62 are up now?
Nope.
So,
but, so. Yeah, but it great. I saw that. I thought that was great. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thanks, John. The now we'll get to tonight's game, which in minute 37. In this game, it was basically a 10-point lead for most of it for Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And Toronto made runs in the third quarter. Kawhi Leonard started hitting a bunch of jumpers. Kawhi Leonard wound up with 33 points tonight. But then it was way too much Joel Embiid. Embiid also with 33 tonight. Jimmy Butler had 22. Jimmy Butler nearly had a triple-double, 9 rebounds, 9 assists. Embiid had 33 and 10. And the Sixers just wound up blowing him out in the fourth quarter. Embiid didn't even play, I think, barely in the fourth quarter. But not barely, but like within the last 6 minutes. But anyway, this game was intriguing because the Raptors, are they getting exposed? I don't know. I can't tell if that was just Philadelphia playing at home and winning a big game at home, a game three, where first time they're at home, you know, guys like J.J. Redick had 15 points. James Ennis had coming up big again, had double figures tonight. But and then your stud Embiid played really well. Is it the Sixers or is it the Raptors? Sixers playing well, the Raptors playing bad. What do you think, Garnick?
I'm gonna go Sixers playing better than I thought they would. I think Jimmy is realizing what he has to do to make sure they get to the next round. It's a very weird dynamic on that team, because you have four players that would be the best player on most teams in the NBA. Not most.
Right.
On more than half the teams in the NBA. And they all have to find a way to gel. And my pick in this series of Toronto coming through was somewhat predicated on that. I thought that gelling and cohesion was going to be Philadelphia's main issue. And so far, that hasn't been the case.
Nope, not
good for them. So I'm going to give it to them.
All right. John, go ahead.
Couple things. First, I think Jimmy Butler realized what Philadelphia is paying him for, which is to be that veteran score that they need in the playoffs. I also think that they're trying to wear Kawhi down by making him play really good D on Jimmy Butler or whoever he switches on, whether it be Butler
or Simmons or
Tobias Harris. Yeah. I think they're just wearing him down, and I think Toronto needs to find a way to find other people on Toronto to step up with the D.
Gasol has been terrible in this series, and I said this in our pre-show. Marcus Gasol, yes, he's a third or fourth option on this team right now.
Fourth,
whatever.
Fourth or fifth.
All right, Raul's looking at me really mad. Fourth or fifth, so. But still, though, Marcus Gasol has Philadelphia did in game one. They started out traditional and beat on Gasol, and they were getting blown out at halftime. And they made a switch where Tobias Harris started guarding Gasol and Embiid started guarding Siakam. Siakam still had 20 points tonight. I mean, he was okay. You know?
Yeah, of course. But, he's their second option.
Yes. But still, though, Marc Gasol not taking advantage of a much smaller Tobias Harris is much more of the issue for Toronto, where they should be looking to Gasol every single time. Even though you have good scorers in Leonard and Siakam and Kyle Lowry, who also only had 7 points tonight.
Surprise.
Yeah, but Marc Gasol is the key to this team for the Raptors because, yeah, you traded for him. You didn't give up a whole lot, but still, he has a mismatch that Philadelphia is trying to exploit, and they're successfully exploiting it because he can't score on Tobias Harris. That's plain and simple. That's the bare bones of it. Raul, go ahead, man.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. But it's so the answer to your original question, I think it's a little bit of both, that Toronto is getting exposed and also Philly is, you know, stepping it up. And Jimmy Butler, like all you guys said, Jimmy Butler is definitely stepping up his game. I think coming into this series, we were all thinking that the Philly squad that was coming in was Jimmy just kind of okay. You know, Jimmy Butler he's good, but I don't think he's going to be that guy for them, you know? Yeah. Embiid's going to be the guy, you know? But Jimmy Butler definitely stepped up and showed that, hey, I can be that guy.
Especially
and I will be
games.
That guy this series,
yep.
For sure. You know, and exactly what he's doing what they got him there for. But Toronto's definitely getting exposed again. Like the past couple years that they've been in the conference finals, whatever, they always get exposed. Mainly, I do agree that Marc Gasol needs to be a lot better. But I think you can get Marc Gasol to be better if Kyle Lowry is doing a lot
better. Yes.
So this is
agreed.
This is so interesting though, that about Lowry, where he's being paid as a star.
It's
on his
ridiculous.
Team. He's being paid like he should be a star, but he is a role player really, where he plays better at home, even though I think what game one of the first round of the playoffs it was terrible.
Yeah.
But still though, he shoots a lot better.
Yeah,
this has been his career,
sure.
In the playoffs.
He feels at home, you know, but
you're supposed to be a star.
Yeah, the way that they look at you is that you're going to be a star for the team in general. That's not just at home. We're not looking for oh man, we got Kyle Lowry. He's really good at home. That's what you get. Like, oh, if Danny Green shoots well at home,
exactly.
Then like you're like, oh, that's awesome. But
Danny Green was in double figures tonight. He had 13 points.
Yeah, but if Kyle Lowry is only shooting good at home, then you're like, dang, dude, like we need more out of you.
Yeah,
and they've 100%. Always needed more out of him.
Yep.
And the fact that he's crumbling again is crazy. There's so much that Toronto relies on him for. It's not just for points. It's not just for assists. It's for leadership. You know, it's for that momentum swing that you need. Oh man, we need a solid play right now. Even if it's you taking a shot, or if it's you making that extra pass, or if it's you being, you know, tenacious trying to get an offensive board or whatever it is, or trying to get a steal. We need something to swing the momentum, and we're looking at you right now because you have been here the longest out of everybody.
Right.
And you're our leader. You know, Kawhi's here. We all know Kawhi is one of the best players in the league. Siakam, wow, what a great surprise. But we need you to be the backbone for our, you know, for our
playoff run.
Yeah, for our playoff run, for the way that they feel, you know, to just to get them there. And he's, again, not showing up. So in that sense, they're getting exposed for sure.
And year after year, it's Kyle Lowry is just playoff Kyle.
Yeah,
playoff Kyle. Kyle, where he folds and just does not have the mental fortitude to persevere. Do you have some?
Yeah. Just going back to the last point I made, even though it was different context, coaching, the two of the least accomplished coaches around.
For sure.
Yeah, with Nick Nurse specifically, I mean, obviously it's his first year. Can't really blame him there, but ultimately, right now, advantage Philly big time, and I don't know if Toronto has what it takes to claw its way back. Even though they have the individual pieces, you can basically say that Philly is in the same position where they're still trying to kind of Voltron it up.
Right.
I mean, with Toronto, you only have one new piece that came in halfway through the year. With Philly, you have two. Even though Jimmy Butler came in earlier. But nonetheless, they're a little more advanced than Toronto. And as much as it hurts me to say this, I think Philly's going to win the series.
Oh, baby. Let's do picks. Why not? Raul, Garnick, how many games?
I think it goes 7.
Like what I said.
You said that?
I said Philly in 7, yeah.
Oh. Well, I had Toronto in 6 before. I don't really remember what it was. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to have to flip-flop based on what I've seen in 3 games.
Go ahead, Raul. I guess we're doing some mid-round picks. Why not?
Man. You know what? I still have Toronto in 6 because, you know, there's a lot there in Toronto that...
You just bashed Kyle Lowry.
I did. But, you know, it's going to be about who's going to step up and who's going to maintain the level that they're playing at. Obviously, you have Jimmy Butler stepping up right now and it looks really good, but there's still tons of room for Marc Gasol to step up. They could definitely come out and smash Philly the next game. I think that's completely possible.
That's very possible.
No, I'm just saying if they get the next game and they get their momentum going and they get Kyle Lowry going, Marc Gasol going, and they feel that we are the team now that we're supposed to be, that we can just go out and we'll crush Philly right now. You know, like, Marc Gasol, go do your thing. You need to body up, like, right now. Kyle Lowry, you need to step up right now. And they step up. I don't see why they wouldn't be able to still be able to take this thing in 6.
You're giving Nick Nurse too much credit there, man.
I don't think it's so much
on Nick Nurse as it is on the players at this point. Yeah. I think for both teams, it's mostly on the players. And you know, Brett Brown wasn't... obviously, Brett Brown was leaning on Jimmy Butler, but that was completely on Jimmy Butler to take over and be like, all right, I'm the captain now. you know, like, get everybody to do what they need to do. Lock down defensively, you know, like, and make sure they do what they were supposed to.
The changes that Brown has made have really prevailed, and Nurse has not countered yet. The Raptors do next game is they start right away and go 4 or 5 straight possessions. And I wouldn't be surprised if Serge Ibaka gets a start.
Yeah.
With Gasol in there, actually. I think they go big. I think they go super big and bench Danny Green.
Dude, when Marc Gasol came to the Raptors when he was traded there midseason, him and Kyle Lowry were running like screen and rolls and pick and rolls all day.
Just remember though, this is a different Philadelphia is good.
I understand that, but it doesn't mean that you completely go away from it. Like you need to try these things. They need to try these things. They need to be more active. You got to get Marc Gasol like rolling, moving around. Kyle Lowry definitely needs to start moving around and getting around screens, setting screens.
I'm still going to say though. I'm going to say Philadelphia in seven. I'm sticking with my original pick. I think it is still competitive. I think Philadelphia wins game four and they lose next two. But go ahead, John.
you might have heard me in the background earlier. I mean, in last episode. Sorry, guys. Load management.
this guy.
I did say Raptors in seven. I will still stick to that. Right. I don't think we've seen the best of the Raptors yet.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And let's go to the last series that we haven't covered. Bucks-Celtics. My boys, the Bucks, responding after their blowout loss in game one to the Celtics. Our boys, Garnick.
you know, I'm still going to pick the Celtics, right?
The Bucks winning by, what was that, like 20-something? They were up by like 30 in that game. Played much better against the Celtics in game two. They won by 21, 123 to 102. Game three is in Boston. The next two games are in Boston. Series is also 1-1. Let's start with John. John, what do you got for this series?
Giannis
responding with a huge game in game two with 29 points. He's averaging three assists a game. Had a bunch of assists to Chris Middleton. It was seemingly wide open for every three that he took. And Eric Bledsoe played a lot better in game two. John, go ahead and start with this Bucks team and how great they are. How much the Celtics suck?
No, I think it's still Celtics. And I might have said six or seven, but I'm going to say six for the Celtics. I don't see Giannis going to be much of a factor after they make these adjustments. I don't know what they'll be, but I'm sure...
They just do what they did in game one.
Exactly. And they don't miss shots. I think they missed a lot of their shots in game two, and the Bucks got hot. But if Giannis develops a jump shot any time in this series, I don't think they have a shot.
So you're saying the Bucks don't have a shot, or
the Bucks don't have a shot?
Okay, all right. Here's what I'm going to say to counteract that point: the Bucks or the Celtics looked great in game one because they had a week off, and Al Horford ain't getting a week off. I don't think there's any way you stop Giannis, even if you triple team him.
I gotta say, that's a very valid point that I haven't considered before. I'll give you props.
Thank you.
Hey,
got props from Garnick.
Hey, you got it.
Let's go. Go ahead. Do you have some?
I'm a little torn now.
yes, I got him.
I'm still gonna go Celtics.
What the Celtics did was, I mean, they were Horford looked great. Horford was super active in game one.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah, he was fantastic.
Based on that alone, that's what made me convinced that the Celtics have this in the bag until you brought up the fact that this dude is old and his knees aren't what they used to be. And one game off in between games is not a good thing for him. I didn't really consider that.
Yep. But in game two, Giannis destroyed the Celtics because, I mean, it wasn't... I do think it was more Giannis also deciding to pass a little bit out of the double and triple teams that he was seeing. But at the same time, Horford didn't have the same jump. And neither did Baines. Baines doesn't stand a chance against Giannis. Go ahead, Garnick. Continue. I'm stealing your thunder.
No, not at all. Give me time to pontificate on this point you're making.
by the way, Pat Connaughton had 11 rebounds in that game, too. That's... weird.
A little weird.
It's not going to happen again.
I do think the Celtics, though, they come out, they'll probably win game three. I mean, I think it's just the home crowd, and Jason Tatum's going to play a lot better. He's had 4 points or 5 points in every game of the series. He's looked terrible. And then I do think the Celtics win game three.
Kyrie looked really bad.
He did look, and I still think, I think that that has to do with rest, too, with Kyrie. I think Kyrie is, with his knees are not... He's had so many surgeries on his knees. Like, if he gets rest, yeah, he's going to look great. I think that's how the Celtics team is really really their strength with when they have guys that are rested and ready to go, yeah, they're going to look pretty damn good like they did in game one. But if they can, if they can't do it on short rest, they might get punked. So we'll see. Well, I think this is 2-2 when it goes back to Milwaukee for game five. But I'm going to save my picks later. Raul, you got something?
Nah, I think I still have the Celtics, and I have them. I'll say that the I had them winning in five before.
I know you did.
I'll say that I have them winning in six.
The disrespect for Milwaukee is unbelievable, but it's, okay, continue.
I'm just saying, dude. I think you have a great point with Horford. I'll acknowledge that, but I think, Boston definitely stole the first game for sure, and they came out.
They did not steal it.
They did not steal it.
No, they came out more ready than Milwaukee was thought that they were gonna deal with. I don't think Milwaukee went into game one thinking that Horford was gonna be able to contain Giannis like that.
No.
In the first game that all of their double teams and their triple teams were going to work against Giannis like the way that it worked, you know? Like I don't think the Bucks just even thought that was going to happen at all. And it kind of caught them off guard, and yeah, they were healthy. The second game, they were at home, they needed to win. I think a little bit of pressure came off them and a little bit of realism settled in for the Bucks. And they're like, hey, okay, like we need to play our game, our brand of basketball.
Yep.
And we need to get Bledsoe more involved. We need to get Middleton more involved. And I think that kind of worked out because they had less rest also, but also because I think the Celtics came out a little too confident too. I think the Celtics definitely came out in game two.
Agreed.
Thinking we got this in the bag. And not even we got this in the bag, but like, yeah, we got Giannis now. We got the answer, you know? But I think that they're definitely going to go back to Boston. I think they're going to win both games in Boston. You know, Boston's very good at home. And I don't think they're going to get caught by surprise anymore.
Yeah.
And the team that they were in game one, I think, is more of the team that they actually are rather than game two.
Good. No.
All right.
Yeah, thanks. I do think Eric Bledsoe played a lot better in game two. I think that was a big key for Milwaukee. And Middleton was open every single time. Then that's not going to happen. Even though Middleton is a really good player, and Bledsoe is also a really good player, both of those guys are kind of home players too, where they play a lot better at home. Do you think?
I mean, not to the same extent.
Not to the Kyle Lowry extent. No,
not Kyle Lowry, no.
No. But I think they do benefit from being in Milwaukee. And I think just the first game, it was more of a not playing. The first round, they didn't play playoff basketball in the first round. They blew Detroit out by 30 every game. So
yeah, that's
kind
a very
of,
valid point, too.
So I personally don't think you've seen the best of Milwaukee either.
Didn't see Milwaukee's best?
Jesus. Holy shit.
It's good beer, by the way.
Nice. That was a pretty good one, man.
Brought to you by
Milwaukee's best.
So, I'm just kind of disagreeing with you there. I think Milwaukee's going to give their best in game three and four here. We'll see what happens.
I'm just going to say
good.
Kyrie will play better than Boston. I don't think Boston played good at all. So I think they're just going to – I think they're going to play better the next game.
All right, let's go with picks. Good, Gunner.
You know what? I'm going to flip-flop. Forget Boston. I never liked Boston. I don't like Horford. I don't like... What's his name?
Gordon Hayward, Jaylen Brown, everybody. You hate them all.
Actually, Jaylen Brown is the only one I like. I don't like Hayward.
Jason Tatum.
I don't like a Kyrie. I don't like Tatum. Never liked the Celtics. Don't like Kevin McHale or Larry Bird.
John Havlicek. R.I.P.
No, too soon.
All right, fine.
I mean, I'm not the Raul of the Bucks by any means. But I'm going to go back to the Bucks on this.
Let's go.
Eddie convinced me.
Yes.
I'll give you. Eddie, you're on point today.
Let's go.
Good job.
I've been preparing for this for weeks.
For this episode. That's why he was so bad on the last two. He was just zooming in on episode 95?
Four.
Oh.
What do you got the Bucks in? How many games?
I think it has to go 7.
Yep. I'm agreeing with you there. I think it's Bucks in 7.
Yeah, Bucks in 7.
I think all these series are going to be awesome.
That's cute.
Go ahead, Raul. Still got Celtics.
Celtics in 6.
John.
Celtics in 6.
All right. Let's wrap up the final thoughts here, boys.
Boys.
Your boys. Who's got a final thought? Anybody? Garnick, John, Raul, who got one?
No. D'Angelo Russell got busted with weed in a container that looked like an Arizona iced tea can. What a noob. I don't know. That's pretty ridiculous. Like, if you're making that much money and you're that much, like, and if you're that type of player and you have that much of a name to you already, why would you even carry around your own weed? Give it to somebody else who will get in trouble and said, oh, my friend's friend or something.
Or hide it better.
Yeah, like, I mean, or hide it better. Like, why are you even carrying around like that? Like, give it to somebody else. I'm sure there's a lot of ways.
Yeah, that's true,
too. Because I'm sure, like, I think I heard that he got caught with, like, 50 grams.
Is that a lot? I don't know.
Yes, that's like...
Nice, Eddie. Nice try, Eddie. We all know how much weed you toke or whatever it is.
Yes.
Or is that 2 ounces? I don't remember. It's either 2 ounces or 2 pounds. One of those.
Wow. Oh, my God. Yeah. That sounds like a lot.
It does sound like a lot. Because I don't know.
2 ounces.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's... D'Angelo Russell, yeah, I heard about that, too. That's kind of ridiculous.
Are you surprised?
No, I'm not surprised, because I'm not surprised that basketball players smoke weed.
Well, not that part.
What?
Did he get caught?
If he got caught again, like, doing something really stupid.
Oh, like, when he was, like, on the Lakers before?
Yeah.
Oh. Like, no, videotaping his teammates?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised. Yeah, I wouldn't be either.
But I don't think anything bad will happen from this.
No.
I don't know. Slap in the wrist. I don't know, man. Like, the thing is... Yo, like, that's a lot of weed. And if you're a regular person, I don't know, you'd have to look up the penalty.
Substantial penalty, but that's
like a lot. it's not just something that you would get like a ticket for or something like that.
You might have to
actually do something to rectify the situation, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't know, what do you do? What are you doing with that much?
I think you're just mad at the fact that he's just so stupid of having that much on him.
I'm just baffled that you would even have any on you. Like
you
have an entourage.
Yeah, you need to have a goon for that. Right?
You have an entourage. Yeah.
Where were you traveling that didn't have, you know, weed?
Yeah, exactly. Like what? What do you mean? Like,
not that we advocate.
You don't have to carry anything on you.
Yeah.
Wherever you go,
yeah.
Hey, like, find me some right now. I'm D'Angelo Russell. I pay your bills.
Yeah.
Like, find me some, or you're fired. That's what it is. Like, what?
Yep.
But I don't know. It's weird.
Good final thought, man. That was a good one. Garnick, you got anything?
Yeah. Yeah, I do a little bit. Mentioned the fact that we're all from Chicago around here, and the Bears just had their draft.
Yeah, they did.
And something you probably should have mentioned last week, before the draft.
Well, no, it was the first round, but the Bears already have Khalil Mack.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, we didn't have a pick.
Yep.
I like what they did there. I really do. And apparently they signed a lot of good, like, rookie free agents, too. And like pretty good receiver.
Raul, the word is you, undrafted free agents, UDFA. Okay? So when you see that, that's what it means. Okay? Man. Go ahead, continue, Greg.
I'm just curious what David Montgomery's jersey number is going to be. That's all. Because I want to buy one. Because that's like a safe jersey to buy right now. Pretty sure he's going to stick around for 5 years. And you want to buy the jersey that's going to stick around for the longest.
That's a good point, man. I would assume it's probably going to be like in the 30s.
Maybe 32. I just Googled it.
See, I was right.
That's a solid number. Who was the last good 32?
Man, don't look at me.
Man, dude, consider Benson.
No, the last good one.
Please.
Anthony Thomas.
He's 35.
He's 35. Damn it. Yeah. He was my boy, too. I didn't know.
Just get somebody on the defense. They last longer.
Was Curtis Enos 32? He was.
44.
44?
Yeah. All right. Let's. All right. No more. No more. I watched Game of Thrones. That was pretty crazy. That's all I have to say.
All right, man. Okay.
All right. Are you all caught up?
I am caught up.
Did the Green Lantern die in the end? Yes.
I've never watched Game of Thrones. I wouldn't know.
Sorry, guys. Iron Man game.
Don't say it. That's why I said Green Lantern, you bad person.
I have no idea what you're referring to.
And I didn't even watch the end.
Shout out to Shady McCoy real quick.
Shout out to Duff Man for saving Winterfell.
Yo, Eddie has no idea what's
Duff
going
Man
on.
Duff Man can't breathe.
Oh, no. Nope. Got no idea. All right. My final thought is this. I think it's next weekend on Showtime.
What is it? Showgirls on?
No, dude. There's a documentary about the Wu-Tang Clan.
Ooh.
It's called Of Mics and Men. And check it out. I'm stoked to watch it, man. I think it's next weekend. Maybe it's this weekend. But yeah, it's like a 5-part documentary. My boys, the Wu-Tang Clan, man. My favorite rap group ever. Just kind of going over how they came to be.
Diversify your bonds.
Always. Thank you for joining Contest Layups tonight. Remember, you can find us on Instagram, Google Play, iTunes, Facebook.
Don't forget to check us out on YouTube by searching Contest Layups episodes for full episodes and more.
Except you don't really, just don't do that. Unless you're looking for the 2017-2018
NBA
catalog previews.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Great weekend and have fun with this playoff basketball.
Hasta luego.
Go Bucks. Go Bucks.
Unique New York.